Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here, and that means Baldy, Brian Baldinger, every Tuesday, 7:30 all season long. Baldy! Now back to Steiny and Goo, who always bring that heat. Well, at least most of the time.
Thanks, Shasky.
What happened to the wet? Spit that fire.
Well, the real?
Yeah, the real.
I think that's a different a different rejoin.
We got some bad news, E.
Yeah, we did.
Want to tell them?
Yeah, Dolly Parton passed away earlier this morning in a statement released by, I believe, her nephew.
80 years old.
80 years old. Yeah, rest in peace, Dolly Parton.
Now, I was impressed. You and Kenny were, it sounds like, and I got to be careful, because I remember 9 to 5, one of the greatest movies that she was in. What was it? The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I remember that one. And you guys were more, I don't want to speak for you, but you were more on her music than the movies, huh? Like, you guys were naming off, I was like, man, but I remember Steel Magnolia, all that stuff, man.
Well, I mean, there was Chase, who's in the back, just came in and was like, you know, I couldn't name a song off the top of my head. I said 9 to 5, and you automatically know that. Everyone knows that song. It's just, yeah. You know, some simple ones. So
I mean, that was just Jolene, for your information. Go.
That was just Jolene.
Jolene. That's the song we came back with.
Oh, okay.
The one that you just played.
Yeah.
Jolene.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, she had like 10 Grammys.
Man.
It was one of the original progressive country singers, and is just iconic.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Have you ever seen the movie, her and Sly Stallone, The Rhinestone?
I haven't.
Oh, are you
no,
Kenny?
I haven't.
That's a great.
I've seen clips, and that movie looks terrible.
Hey, she just passed. No.
Not because of her. Because of Sylvester Stallone acting like a cowboy.
1980. I believe it was 4 or 5.
Yeah, people are chiming in. Jolene was the first time she topped the country charts in 1974.
Wow, man, Dolly. Yep.
I Will Always Love You was also a big one that became a hit for Whitney Houston.
That's how I was just going. I know that from Whitney, but that was Dolly.
Song.
Wow.
That was her song.
Rest in peace,
first
Queen.
Female country artist to have an album sell over 1 million copies.
Wow.
Yeah, rest in peace to Dolly Parton. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Giddings in for Steinmetz alongside Goo. Leroy is in Oakland.
Lee.
Thanks for hanging on, Leroy. How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing all right, Evan. I'm doing all right. Boo, what's up with y'all, man? Oh, to hear that about Dolly, man, man, that just took my little thunder away, man. Because, you know, I was born 1970, Boo, you know.
Yes, sir.
And we know. I remember, I think the last time I sat and watched something with Dolly, she had did a duet with Queen Latifah. Called He's Everything.
Oh, I
so
missed
guys
that.
Check that out.
Okay.
It's a nice duet, man. So real quick, you know, lifelong 49er, man, been a 49er fan since 1978. And so it's good to hear some of the things that the fans care about, the media cares about. I know the Jed York story is in, but a lifelong 49er fan who is me, I got my top 5. Y'all asked earlier of, you know, how is the season so far, top 5 things, and Bosa didn't make the list, Jed York didn't make the list, and Shanahan didn't make the list. So here's 5 and up. Number 5, getting Debo back was big, man. If nothing but for the culture, it was good getting Debo back. Number 4, man, the 49ers, they still don't know how to draft offensive linemen, man. That's a concern for me. I mean, everybody loves Stribling at pick number 33 in the second round. I do too, Goo, Evan. You know, so far he's good. But, man, offensive lineman Chase Bicentis was sitting right there. And Arizona swooped him up at number 34. And he's ready to plug and play now. And I think, Goo, he's going to be a big part of Jeremiah Love's success, all right?
Okay.
Number 3, the health of Kittle. The health of Kittle, that's good. Looks like he's going to be ready. Then the health of Purdy is number 2. That's good. It looks like he's healthy. And then number 1, my big concern, who's going to back up Christian McCaffrey? Because the way he plays, the way Shanahan uses him, man, I just don't expect to see him the whole season. And we're going to need a solid backup because Shanahan likes to run the ball. That's going to be a lot of his offense. So That's my number one.
Hey, Leroy, before you leave, Evan won't know this reference, but Thursday, get ready for season 3, baby. Beauty in Black is back. Netflix.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And speaking of that, hey, you and Evan, man, y'all Ebony and Ivory, man. Shout out to Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney. Y'all doing a great job.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call, man.
Lee.
If you were going to sell me on that show, because I got to be honest, I don't know anything about it. If you're going to sell me on that show.
Tyler Perry creation, and it has everything, sex, lies, murder, something, everything that's on TV now. But it's pretty good, man.
All right. Maybe
one of those series, Evans, to where you say, why am I watching this? But it's just entertaining. You know, like,
yeah, that's
you're kind of lightweight embarrassed.
Well, I mean,
Do you have any of those, E?
Well, the entire 49ers offseason has been a soap, what do they call them, soap box?
I can't understand how Leroy, to me, would
soap
omit
boppers.
Bosa.
Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, Bosa, out the Young and the Restless. How could you omit Bosa?
Well, Bosa's, I think he is a big deal for a lot of people, and it's because even before he got hurt, I think some of his past seasons have been underwhelming. But here's where my mind went off the Leroy thing, because he's talking a lot about a lot of players, and there's a fragility to some of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. The five pillars beyond Shanahan and Brock that this team are kind of built on would be Trent Williams, George Kittle. You look at Nick Bosa, Mike Evans, Christian McCaffrey. You could throw Warner in there, I guess, if you want. He's not somebody that I'm worried about. This is his first major injury. And he's always been an iron man for the Niners. I expect him to be back and to just be good immediately. All the other guys, there are questions about, whether it's because of Bosa's ACLs, Williams, who's 38, Evans is going to be going into year 13, McCaffrey had 400 and umpteen touches last year. There's a lot going on. Kittle's Achilles. How good can those guys be? And the biggest difference between that group and, say, a group for the Seahawks or the Rams is that I feel like the Rams and the Seahawks have guys behind them or younger guys that are ascending. The Niners have not yet proved that with their draft classes, they've found guys that can get better, guys with ceilings and potential. I think that's why there's so much excitement around someone like Stribling. And if you want to throw in Ephesians Prysock, who's looked good in preseason, Romello Height, who people are excited about in a rookie edge rusher, there are guys that people have energy for, but we don't know yet if they can actually produce at the NFL level. Meanwhile, you look at a team like the Seahawks, don't have to go down their draft history. They've been fantastic. Yeah. The Rams are associated with a bunch of top-tier talent, the Staffords, the Nakuas, the Adams, but you look at their defense, Braden Fisk is going to be in his third year. Kobe Turner is fourth. Byron
Baller.
Young is fourth.
Baller.
Those are three starters on the defensive line alone that they've drafted in the last three seasons, or four seasons. So to me, it's like, the biggest gap, or the reason for the big gap between the Niners and the two teams in front of them is not just the Myles Garretts and the...
Gotcha.
You know, the Jackson Smith and Jigabas, the best players. It's also the guys behind them, the lesser-known starters that have been found in the draft.
Now, what if I hear you loud and clear, and it sounds like you're describing depth. And, you know, that's what enabled the Rams to get to the NFC Championship and obviously Seattle to win the Super Bowl. But what if I told you we get to see more Alfred Collins? You know, Mykael Williams, when that day does come that he's coming back. I mean, we get to see these year two, three guys, you know, try to come into their own. Renardo Greens of the world. Like, you know, we're about to find out, Evan, to what you said, we're about to find out, not just with the, you know, household names, but what's behind – You know, you look at the offensive line, the depth there, and hopefully that's sufficient. But, you know, at quarterback right now, that's the one that I feel like the Niners have the best backup quarterback situation in the NFL. And obviously you don't want to have to utilize that because that means Brock would have got hurt. But that means something to me. But he mentioned Black or the running back after McCaffrey. And I'm going to steal from Willard. Numbers are numbers are numbers are numbers. But when you look at the numbers on McCaffrey's Carfax report, after he's had the amount of carries like he's had last year, what that does just for games played and how there is a drop-off, and I'm trying to fight that and be proactive, but since the Garindos of the world, the Marcus Robinson Jr., like Brian Robinson Jr., why can't they find a back did Kyle trust to alleviate and take some of the load off McCaffrey?
Well, I don't know if it's that they can't find a back that they trust, but you can't find one that you trust more than McCaffrey.
No,
there's not one out there that you're going to give the ball to more than 23.
But there's the light turns yellow before it turns red. It gives you a warning that, hey, slow down, you might get caught. And I'm just wondering, will this be the year, because of the usage of McCaffrey last year, that Kyle would trust maybe Black back there more than, like, I don't understand why Brian Robinson Jr. only got 52 carries. And I hear what you're saying. Well, Goo, it's because McCaffrey's more talented, but it's bigger than that. Sometimes you got to save the player from himself. And I just feel like we've been waiting for Garrido. We've been waiting for the next, not star, but the next back that Kyle will trust, and I feel like we haven't seen it.
But wouldn't last season prove that you can't approach games like that? I mean,
in what way?
Well, McCaffrey had the most touches he's ever had in his entire career last year.
Yeah, okay.
And his age 29 season. Right. You would think that if he played 17 games and got the ball nearly 450 times, that he would break down. Okay, well, he didn't.
Well, that's why I'm saying, do you try
to... So I don't think you can go into this year just expecting that.
So there's no load manage at all for McCaffrey,
because
we've seen the Niners
practice
with leads, and he's still in there.
Well, there's going to be in practice. He had tightness and sat out 15 days.
But not
days.
In the games, I'm asking you. You feel like...
If he's active on Thursday night against the Rams, I expect him to touch the ball as much as is necessary for the Niners. Mm. You know, until the game script plays out the way it does. But it's like, if McCaffrey's out there, Kyle Shanahan's going to use him.
Well, that we know. But after last year's 400-plus... touches, I'm like, man, I get what you're saying, Evan. Yeah, the Cadillac made it on the trip, but then what about when you take another trip? Are you going to, you know, use it like you did last year? Or is there any kind of like plan to where, look, and I get what you're saying, he's probably your best offensive player, but man, you kind of want to protect him from himself a bit. Like, I get, you know what I mean? Like, it can't be 400-plus touches, can it?
Well,
he led the team in receiving.
No, I would bet that McCaffrey doesn't play more than 14 games this year, just because his track record is what it is. But I'm saying that if he is out there, you have to use him like he's the horse from last season, because that's the best way to win football games. And I mean, I don't know, maybe they adjusted because Mike Evans can catch the ball a bit
more.
You got
a better wide receiver.
Yeah, you have better weapons to use. So last year you had to depend on McCaffrey.
Man.
But if you're Brock Purdy or Mac Jones, And Christian McCaffrey is next to you in the backfield, you're going to give him the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's the best playmaker that they have on that offense. And it doesn't matter if he's 30 years old. They might run him into the ground this year.
We got to say it in the union or in the streets. Sounds like you're saying just ride till the wheels fall off.
That's what they do. That's what the Niners did in 2023, which is why McCaffrey probably dealt with the Achilles tendonitis next season.
That's fair.
And then he bounced back last season and had a great year. I don't know if it's one year and one off, but like the nature of that position is to be run into the ground.
Man,
that's why people don't typically pay running backs unless they're as great as Christian McCaffrey, because you're just going to use them up. So, look, if Christian McCaffrey's got one great season left in him, then the Niners will be better off for it. But to me, the usage rate is something they have to...
They have to
find out about.
And maybe that's why they, and you could laugh, but maybe that's why they thought Stribling was something that could help, you know, stretch the defenses and not have McCaffrey as your leading receiver, because that's a pounding too.
Well, here's Brian Baldinger from the Morning Roast talking about something that we've kind of danced around, the idea of getting younger. How can they do that?
Oh, it's huge. They need it. They need, because there's nothing like an injection of youth. Like some of these guys don't know what they don't know, but Kalon Black looked good and they need him to be good. They need a backup to Christian. So, you know, he looked powerful. He pushed the pile. He looked decisive. He looked good. They need Stripling to be good. It's obviously the injuries are the injuries, but they need him to be special. And if you just look at Seattle last year, you know, you look at their left guard, and Graves Abel and what he did to him last year and the pop that he gave him. You look at Emmanuel and what he did for that defense. You need an injection of youth. It can't just be veterans because of their experience and what they have accomplished in this league. Players need that juice, that rookies and young players, not just these guys that we're talking about, Presock. They They need these guys to pop and to really help. And there's no better feeling than when you see young guys step up and contribute immediately.
I mean, look, you
ain't mad at him.
Well, you think about the first two preseason games. What's everybody hyped about?
The youth.
Stribling.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played a single snap in an NFL regular season game. But just from the preseason, people are pumped because this guy looks like he's explosive. He looks like a playmaker. And that's what they need. In addition to, you know, McCaffrey and Kittle, like, they need a young guy to break through. That's what, to me, is what is holding this team back from being seen in the same class as the others in their division, the Rams and the Seahawks. Mm,
interesting. And to me right now, you didn't ask, but I'll share it. If you were to say, Goo, who's their most promising young player right now, would you have a problem if I said it's the quarterback, Brock Purdy? Because I still consider him young, and he did it. He took the baton and, you know, did what he did, got paid. But would you have a problem? Would you say he's more seasoned? But I look at him in that position like, man, they're so good at that position. But it's bigger than just him.
Well, I would probably – I think Brock Purdy's graduated for me. I don't think he's – because he's going into year five, year four as a starter. I think he's established. And it's funny, people have not really brought up Brock Purdy a whole lot this offseason. I think – when I think of the young guys, I think of players on their first contract. So – for the Niners, how many of them do you look to right now and are expecting big things from them this season? There's not a lot. You know, you'd hope that Alfred Collins can take a step. Or,
what about Pooney? Would you have a problem if I just bring him up? And I know, you know, took a step back, if you want to say that, last year, not what it was his first time out. But, man, you know, they could use that oomph from him on that line.
No, he had a good rookie season. Last year wasn't as good. Yeah. Upton Stout looks like he's taking steps in camp.
Good call.
You know, so they've got some dudes there, but I mean, you need someone to, in my opinion, be talked about in the same way that we talk about those other great aging stars.
Right.
You know, we've been talking about the Kittles and the McCaffreys and the Williamses, and it's a credit to them and their longevity in production for so long, but Deebo Samuel's back. Okay, I expect DeJon Stribling to be more impactful this season than Deebo Samuel at this stage in his career. Am I crazy for that?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you what, it's year one for Stribling, but if that were to happen and one of the two, you know, were to ball out, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the Niners when you could just say, hey, it was a rookie campaign for DeJon, and, you know, he's got year two, but you kind of maximize and cash that Deebo chip that he still had more in the tank than anybody thought. So at least you get to, you know, you get that from Deebo. And then Stribling still can give it to you, you know, year two, year three, year four, and still have an okay rookie campaign.
This is from the 510. Stribling is to the 49ers as Yaxel is to the Warriors. And the fans believe that they got action with both dudes. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Yaxel had a great summer league, but you still got to see it in an NBA regular season game.
And that's what blew me away when you came up with the great question about the youngsters in the Bay. And Eldridge, you pointed out, was the only one that actually had, you know, pro players.
He's got the biggest sample size.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These two dudes, yeah, it looks good, but none of them have counted.
Not yet.
10-inch hands or 10-inch hands. 6'9", 240 or 50 for Yaxel, that's going to follow you. You know what I mean? That's DNA, so I'm excited about those from both guys.
Well, but that's why, from what I've seen from Stribling, he excites me the most. And part of it is because the Niners just haven't had a great young receiver emerge since, well, Ayuk's probably the closest
that. And
one.
And that's why it's just sad. It just is.
What's happening with him?
Yeah, what happened. Just the fact that they paid him, and I know there was some uncertainty and blah, blah, blah. But Evan, I can honestly tell you, outside of Antonio Brown, and I believe it's concussions or CTE that he accumulated, you know, long ago, and it played out, that was sad. But for Brandon Ayuk to be this young, get paid more than I thought the team was going to give him, and then get mad and get hurt, and then do what he's been doing, is quiet on the set here lately. Like, Evan, if we just sat back, like, how uncanny is that?
Well, you take a look at Ayuk, who's gone off the deep end, which is,
man,
you know,
We'll see.
Hopefully it comes to conclusion at some point. But
he hasn't even sent in a letter. He don't want to play.
I don't know what he's doing, and I don't really care. But the fact of the matter is that's production that the Niners don't have on the field. They won't have Pearsall this season because of the PCL. So those are your two. You know, I'm trying to think of other players that have emerged from, you know, a younger cat. Yeah. Ayuk is in a different class than Pearsall because he was a second team All Pro.
Gotcha.
In 2023. I mean, it wasn't as if he wasn't legit going into his contract.
Big catch against the Packers in the playoff game.
Pearsall's been good when he's on the field, but we haven't seen it for a full season. You know, outside of that, the Niners haven't had a young guy recently outside of Brock Purdy at the quarterback position to me that has really energized the fan base and even the team. It's funny. So Brian Baldinger brought up the idea that a young guy can create juice. Do you remember how much juice the Niners had the moment Brock Purdy stepped under center?
How much excitement
swept over the Bay Area as soon as he was called upon in that game against Miami?
It was juice turned into PG&E electricity. I mean, it was that much juicy. I know. Anyway, it was like that. That was well said. And it turned into the electricity, man. And look where Brock is now. But I can't hate on Brock. That was an assignment that nobody knew he was going to get the opportunity to take. And he passed it. And now look. But, man, you're right. That was – I thought they were ready.
And I know that the quarterback position is different, but the Niners are going to need somebody. I don't know if it's dribbling, if it's height, if it's stout on defense, a second-year player. They're going to need somebody to emerge because I also think that energizes the old guys.
Oh,
you know, you're seeing a lot of them kind of load manage their way through camp, and that's fair and understandable for them. You know, McCaffrey's not going to practice every single day. Nick Bosa is yet to get back on the field, on the practice field, I should say. And even though Kittle's back out there, you know, he's probably going to take it easy throughout this. They need some young guy to take a little bit of the load off of their plate. To me, that's where the Niners are in a bit of danger and why I think they're hanging on right now until someone else steps up.
And that's why I think Stribbs is the leader. It sounds like you agree, the leader in the clubhouse going into this season.
I think so. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. How are you feeling about the San Francisco 49ers right now? As they get set, they got about three more practices before they head down to Australia, and then 2 weeks away, effectively, from their first game against the Los Angeles Rams on September 10th. All right, if you're still making plans for September, we've got one for you. Great golf, great people, and an even greater cause. Learn more about the Pettinelli Financial Partners Charity Golf Tournament at Harding Park on Friday, September 11th, benefiting the Autism Society, SF Bay Area. Check it out at PettinelliFP.com. Also, next Thursday, our Red and Gold Summit, Thursday, September 3rd, all the hosts, including a special guest, Brian Baldinger, will be live from Jackson Pleasant Hill from 4 to 6 p.m., Willard and Dibbs get you started at 2, and then at 4, the summit commences with Brian Baldinger, 5 to 6. Great food, great drinks, chance to meet Baldy, all the hosts, all brought to you by Ashby Lumber and Humboldt Sawmill, Redwood Products. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.